I don't know if that choking sound is something I needed to start the day, Slee, but I like it. I like it because there certainly was some choking elements going. I don't remember the last time I was this happy on a Wednesday. I really don't remember the last time I was in this good of a mood just for no reason other than everything kind of broke right last night. I'm giddy, Slee.
1998. That was the last time you had that much excitement. By the way, I forgot the Clayton Kershaw. We were trying to make comps to Kershaw with you grilling hot dogs. That just kind of shows you what's going on in the evenings.
It's the bullpen. It's, you know, you see Kershaw gets out.
We were both hallucinating at night when we were doing the night show. You would be done with your morning stuff, and then you'd have to wait like 12 hours
only 12
before
hours.
The next show
fine.
Starts.
Not a big deal. Yeah, it's fine. But no, you go out there, you know, you don't just curve a pianist, right, when they go out to perform a concert.
Yeah.
They don't just, you know, pull up in the car and walk out to the stage and go, crack their knuckles and start playing.
Yeah.
You got to warm up. So whether it's baseball or music.
There's the layup lines in basketball,
exactly.
Right? Like you're stretching. There's all these bands that are involved that you and I have no idea what they're used for, all that stuff.
How do you plan to observe this sacred day, National Hot Dog Day? Do you observe privately, or do you go and to a celebration?
No, I won't be. Are you going to have a hot dog today? Like hot dog, you just kind of is a timing thing. You have it when you want it. You're feeling it, or maybe you're at a barbecue. I won't go out of my way to have a hot dog today.
You know, a hot dog is not something that I go out of my way to get, but because it's National Hot Dog Day, and look, there's not a better deal on earth than the hot dog and drink from Costco for a buck and a half. So maybe that's the lunch stop today. Maybe that's the way that that you knock it out. We'll see. We will see. Chris Paul is home. He's home. He's just like,
I'm very curious here. Wait.
2-0 again.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Give me some of what is it that turns you against Chris Paul so much? I'm curious here because you're not the only one.
Oh,
and
no,
there are a lot of Laker fans that are the same way, but I don't find myself, I'm not as high up on the list of wanting to see Chris Paul fail.
I get that. And I think that I can explain it.
Okay.
And it's not specific to Chris Paul, but Chris Paul happens to fall into this category.
Mm-hmm.
I really have a hard time getting with guys that act like they've accomplished things when they haven't.
Think they're better than they are.
Yeah. They look at themselves. For instance, if you and I walked into a room and Howard Stern is in there, and some of the, whoever else you want to put in the Mount Rushmore of radio personalities.
Yeah.
And we just like, hey, fellas, what's up? How you doing? You know, we want to go on vacation. Can I get on that banana boat? It would be off-putting. We're not on that level.
Hey, Stern, can you grab me a water? Can you
just... Exactly. Chris Paul walks
throw
around
some ice
like
in
he's
there.
Some sort of combination of Magic Johnson, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant. It's like, dude, stop. That's 4-2-0 leads that you've kicked. That's not – look, and it could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Might happen to anybody twice. Three times. Nope. That's on you, buddy.
You know why
I love it?
You know why I think it doesn't get to me is because I don't pay attention to him. Like, he's not a player that I put in that category anyways, right? So,
But he puts himself in there. That's the problem.
But I get that part. He puts himself, and that's what kind of irks you. He's not walking around. Maybe you didn't have that same feeling with Steve Nash, or you didn't have that same feeling with John Stockton, or some of those other point guards that were...
Or Steph Curry, who's actually in that group.
But I'm using those as an example because they never won championships either, right? Like, that's the best... I guess that's the best comp that I could have. I just don't put him there. Like, I don't... Coming into this season, if you would have said, hey, start listing off the best players in the NBA... It's a long way before I get to Chris Paul. Now, that doesn't mean he's not incredibly impactful. That doesn't mean that he didn't help turn around a Phoenix Sun. You could play it the way you're playing it, but nobody thought the Phoenix Suns were going to be in the NBA Finals, so I'm going to give him credit for that. But I take more pride in when the Clippers lose or when there's certain teams that lose rather than individual players.
I'm just thrilled. That's at the end of the day, I'm in a good mood.
You're not going to find anybody more childish than me when it comes to rooting against teams, okay? That's kind of my thing,
that
you know? Like, I've embraced that.
All right. Travis and Slee's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The other main, big, huge reason that I'm in a fantastic mood is, Slee, the Dodgers got a huge win last night. And I'm not being hyperbolic. I mean this sincerely. That felt to me last night like the Dodgers did something important Because, look, there are so many baseball games in a season. There's 162 of these things. And you can almost tell how these games are going to go in the first three or four innings. You know that it's going to be a tight game, or you know you're going to run away and win, or you know that you're going to get smacked around in any given game. You can usually tell by third. And everything about that game last night felt like a game that the Dodgers were going to get smacked around.
Sure.
They had a bullpen night coming up. They had a guy making his major league debut in Josiah Gray, who we'll get to a little later on. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts was not in the lineup. Gavin Lux is not in the lineup. You've got Corey Seager, who's still not in the lineup. You've got Cody Bellinger, who's doing nothing, and you fall behind 6-1 in the early innings.
That's ball game.
It's
best record in Major League Baseball, all the momentum on their side. That's it. There's nothing really more to talk about.
And they won. And they came back and they won the game, and it was a fight. It wasn't like something weird happened. It wasn't like the Giants' bullpen spit the bit and walked a bunch of guys. What they did is they grinded out at-bats. Yeah, even after falling behind 6-1, Chris Taylor pops one. You're like, oh, okay, 6-2. I guess it's kind of a game. Fast forward, and he pops another one. This time it takes him, it's a three-runner, it's 6-5.
You're like, right?
This is a ball game. You get into the bottom of the ninth inning, you're still trailing, and here comes Will Smith, and he pops a three-runner to win. Bunch of blank went wrong for them last night, and they still found a way to win with a bullpen night, with a rookie pitcher not pitching particularly well. That was a huge win because now they can win the series. Now they can be in first place at the end of the series. That was a massive win for them last night.
And you have, you know, a little bit more normalcy these next two games with Urias and Walker Buehler. So, I think you said it best to start off with. There's 162 games in baseball here. 162. So it's really difficult to sit here on one specific game and say that was a big one. But I think there's, you know, I think you kind of walk away from yesterday's game and it's a perfect description of the game. Dodgers could have folded their chairs and said, that's it, call it a wrap. Dodgers could have easily decided that this one's not happening. Let's move on. Let's see if we can, let's see if tomorrow we'll have some better luck. That can happen. How they won, who they beat, the fact that the Giants could have then gone up three games. By the way, no pressure on the Giants. If they win that game yesterday, you got two more. You split those two with the Dodgers, you're in fantastic shape.
You're still leaving in first place. No matter what happens tonight and tomorrow, you leave in first place.
And then you got three more coming up against the Dodgers. Yep. That's going to be in San Francisco. The Dodgers bullpen, or not the Dodgers bullpen, but their starters, and kind of every single day is a shuffle. You don't know what you're going to get. So I think how they won yesterday, and by the way, this isn't us just saying this. You got players from the Dodgers saying yesterday, including, you know, manager Dave Roberts, that's the biggest win of the year. And I think up to this point, it certainly is. You can't really argue that.
No, it was impressive. Take it here. This is what Chris Taylor said. Chris Taylor said biggest win of the season.
That was huge for us. You know, obviously this is a huge series, and they took that first one from us and jumped out to an early lead in the second one. So for us to, you know, kind of stick with it and come back and find a way to win a game, you know, that was probably our biggest win of the year so far.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any question. I don't even think there's a close second, because look, here's what else happened out. They didn't win the game because Mookie Betts popped a grand slam. They didn't win the game because Cody Bellinger is the MVP of the league, and they did it with guys that are typically kind of role players. I know Chris Taylor is an all-star this year, and he deserves it, and he's been great. Chris Taylor, in a perfect world, is their sixth best guy? Mm-hmm. You know, he's down the list of guys. Albert Pujols got another big hit last night. He's on base. You got guys in the lineup like Zach McKinstry. You got another guy, like Rex, who's making his, you know, still hasn't gotten a hit in the big leagues. He's out there. You've got Matt Beattie playing third base. I don't remember the last time I saw that, because Justin Turner gets hit with a pitch. Max Muncy gets hit with a pitch. A million things went wrong, and they still showed championship mettle. They still showed that resiliency of, look, none of our quote-unquote guys are here tonight. We're going to find a way to win this game anyway. I couldn't have been more impressed with what they showed, and I've never felt better about this team in the last couple of months. Early when they got off to that great start and they went down to San Diego and won, they'd feel, okay, here we go. They're going to win 110 games. But really, since then, it's been kind of a mixed bag of, yeah, they're pretty good, but they're not playing that great. Until last night, it's, you know what? They still have that intangible thing that championship teams have.
So we talked about this, I want to say a couple weeks ago or so, that the Dodgers were winning a lot of their games because they're just the talent, right? They're just –
pure talent. Now, that's not always going to win a World Series or an NBA championship or a Super Bowl or anything along those lines. You also got to have grit. You also have got to have other guys that step up rather than, you know, just your stars or whatever the case is. You got to have a lot of things go your way. What do you think? I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Yesterday's win was, yes, talent, but it was something else, right? You know how you say that they have relied on just, for the most part, they've relied on their talent so far this season to kind of keep them in games. It's not like it's beautiful baseball every single night or whatever the case is. Last night was more, I think, fell along the lines of the grit. We find a way to come back. It's not the big names, which is, I think, promising too, because the idea and the concept is, Trav, all we, you know, kind of continue to reference is they're eventually going to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen with Cody Bellinger and if things are going to turn around, but it can't get any worse, right? Like, so you just expect him to just improve as the season gets better, because he literally can't, you know, be any worse so far the way he's playing. I don't know if you've, when you say you've never felt as good because of the way they came back yesterday, mm-hmm. and how they came back, but big picture, how do you still feel?
I feel good, not great. I feel beat, because you just hit on a key piece. Cody Bellinger's batting .161. Let's just throw batting average out. Let's be modern baseball fans and say, yeah, batting average isn't the end-all, be-all. It doesn't really matter. Okay, fine. He gets on base at a .282 clip. That's so far below major league average, I can't even tell you. He's slugging .270. That's pitcher slugging percentage. There's just nothing there. They're going to need him. They're going to need to get healthy for all the reasons that you said. They're going to need to add a starting pitcher. They're going to need to get Corey Seager back. They're going to need to hope that Mookie can stay healthy the rest of the way. They got a whole bunch of pieces that are going on. Here's another great thing last night. And again, I want to give these guys credit, because they've been asked to do so much, Al, that they stepped up in such a meaningful way last night. The Dodgers used 5 pitchers last night, okay? Nunez, Gray, Clevenger, Kelly, and Scherfy, okay? I want to read those names to you again. Nunez, Gray, Clevenger, Kelly, and Scherfy. Other than Joe Kelly, none of those guys are guys that at the beginning of the season you thought you were going to need, or guys that you thought were going to pitch important innings. No Victor Gonzalez, no Blake Treinen, no Kenley Jansen. Mm-hmm. None of those guys pitch. No Dustin May or Clayton Kershaw or Trevor Bauer or any of the – I mean, that is a who's who of who? And they got it done in a big game on the heels of back-to-back days where you use 6 and 7 pitchers. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. And now they're set up to go win this. I'll tell you, you know what this is, an even bigger game?
Yeah.
The Giants sitting in their clubhouse today are probably thinking, dude, what happened last night? Who beat us? Clevenger and Josiah Gray and Scherfy? Who's Scherfy? Who are these guys? Who's Nunez? How did we – wait, we were ahead 6-1, right? I didn't imagine that, right? And they won the game. And if they win tonight, the Dodgers, and it's tied, and they win on Thursday with Walker Buehler, which feels like you got a really good chance, the Giants go from guaranteeing themselves walking out of Los Angeles in first place to thinking, hey, we just got beat by the JV 3 times in 4 nights. What in the world happened to our lead? And the Dodgers could be off to the races.
Guaranteeing themselves up minimum 3 games. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if they had won, not minimum 3 games, so they'd have been up 3, and then you still got 2 that you split and you're up 3.
You're leading with a lead.
But I think that's actually a good perspective, because so many times we spend all our time talking about, okay, how does this look from the Dodgers' perspective? That's demoralizing. You know, it's worth one game, right?
Yep.
That's a demoralizing loss if you're the San Francisco Giants. I said this to you when we were starting this series, that I was expecting the Giants to at least get 2 because of the circumstances. The circumstances, if you can't beat the Dodgers now, what makes you think in a month or 2 months, when things kind of start, guys are coming back, that lineup is in full effect, Kershaw's back on the mound, what makes you think you're going to go beat the Dodgers then? So I thought this was, these next 10 days was kind of a golden opportunity for the Giants, but if the Dodgers turn this thing around, it's not worth just one loss. It's a demoralizing loss, too.
And here's why I'm bullish on the Dodgers as well. Josiah Gray. The numbers didn't tell you what he did last night. I want to get into that next and tell you why what he did last night was so wildly impressive. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee. It's 710 ESPN. trying to figure out where yeah. If it's not Costco for the National mm-hmm. Hot Dog Day, $1.50 for a good dog, by the way. That's the meal dog. The ones you cook at home are the appetizer ones. The Costco one is a meal dog.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Or do I DoorDash something? I could have hot dogs here by the time we're done with the show.
I think that's an easy answer. I think it's an easy answer.
Okay.
Costco dog is amazing.
It's good. It's very good.
That's a good dog. You don't got to do anything. Just get in your car, take a nice little drive, and pull up to Costco. I think that's a better idea.
What if I do both? What if I get on my app right now and DoorDash a little D-dub mm-hmm. or something like that and get a couple of apps? And then later this afternoon, go with the main course dog. Feels like if you're ever going to do it, today's the day, right?
You take things to another level. That never even crosses my mind. And for you, it's like just a very simple conversation, like a dialogue you're having in your own head.
I'm a problem solver, is what I am. I'm somebody that figures out a way to get to the bottom of things. All right, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. If you just opened up a box score this morning and mm-hmm. looked at Josiah Gray, and again, he didn't start the game, but he was the starting pitcher for all until they started with Nunez, who was kind of the opener, and they brought Gray in the second inning. If you just looked at the box score, it's four innings, it's four runs, three home runs, mm-hmm. and you say, not in the major league debut, it's kind of so-so, right? Didn't make it past four innings, got tagged three times, and gave up four runs. Not ideal. Here's what I saw, Slee. Mm-hmm. I saw a guy making his major league debut against the arch rival of your team.
Right.
That's in first place.
Uh-huh.
That you have to give a performance because the bullpen has just been bleeding innings over the last
half. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity right now.
You got to have it. And here's the thing. He's getting tagged. Right? They're hitting home runs off of him. Mm-hmm. And you could see it. Dave Roberts is looking like, Josiah, I'm going to need you to stay out there for a while. You're going to have to wear some of this because I don't have enough options to get to the end of the game if I have to come and get you in an inning or two. But here's the other side of this. Mm-hmm. Seven strikeouts in four innings. One walk in four innings. And there was never one point in that game where I was watching that guy pitch where I thought he was over his skis. He threw some bad pitches. He got tagged by a good team three different times. Mm-hmm. But there was not one point where this guy's scared. He's intimidated by the moment. He won't come in and attack. He kept attacking despite getting hit. Look, I don't want to throw shade at Tony Gonsolin right now, but get ready, Tony Gonsolin. Here it comes. Tony Gonsolin's nibbling at the corner. Tony Gonsolin won't come into the plate for whatever reason. I don't know why, but this is a guy that used to be a strike thrower that right now is not a strike thrower. He's walking guys. Mm-hmm. Gray kept pumping strikes. That stuff is alive, Al. And he's going – I cannot wait for that guy to go pitch again in 4 or 5 days. I can't wait to see what he goes out there and does because while he wasn't very good yesterday, what I saw was very impressive.
I think that's the only thing that matters, right? Like I love the circumstance. I love that this 23-year-old is coming into this type of game. Trav, he's going to have games where they're playing the Diamondbacks. He's going to have games where they're playing the Rockies. He's going to have games that are not that meaningful. He's going to have games on the road where everybody's not watching his every pitch. He's going to get that. Those are mm-hmm. going to happen throughout the season, right? Mm-hmm. Throughout the rest of the season. I kind of like that his first appearance is Dodgers, Giants, we need you. I don't care. I even like the Dave Roberts part of it of – you know, not being too selective. You gave up a couple of home runs, get right back out there and throw some more pitches. I like all of that because I think that's going to benefit him down the road. And if someone like yourself, I don't know if this is the best comp, but there are times when, remember when THT came in with the Lakers?
Uh-huh.
Talen Horton-Tucker comes in. We don't really, okay, this guy's got some skill. He's got some potential. Let the dude fail. Failing is okay. Failing is part of it. And I think, you know, for somebody like Josiah Gray, if you're just, I think you said it perfectly. If you just look at, okay, well, how many innings did he pitch? Mm-hmm. How many runs did he give up? If you just look at that and you don't see, you're impressed by his stuff. You're impressed that I'm going after you. You're impressed that, hey, I might have failed. I might have thrown a pitch and it goes out to right field or whatever the case is. I'm coming right back after you, which I think ultimately will help him as the season progresses.
Let me say this as a guy who gave up a whole bunch of home runs in his life. When you give up home runs, you know what you don't want to do? Is throw the ball over the plate a whole bunch of times. Mm. It's a terrible feeling because you know, look, you give up one, it's like, whatever, it's a bad pitch, I'm fine. You give up that second one, you're like, uh-oh, today might be one of those days. You give up the third one, and you're thinking, okay, I don't have it. These guys
pull
are going
to
kick. You're looking in there like, hey, coach, Skip.
You might want to warm up somebody over there.
You might want to get somebody up because these guys are kicking my brains in. This dude never once gave you any of that. Yeah, I could not have been more impressed with it. Only one walk, struck out seven, got hit a few. Look, he's a rookie. He's making his major league debut. He's playing a first-place team. It's a big game. He's not. He's put it to you this way. He's not going to pitch in another game like that probably until late September or in the postseason. Mm-hmm. That's the next time he's going to feel what he felt yesterday, and I thought that he got through it really well. Here's the good news, and I don't know, if you're like me in this. Do you keep track of, like, your personal record when you go to games? Like, hey, I've been to 3 Dodger games this year, and they've lost 2 of them and only won. Like, did you kind of know when you go and they win or lose?
Yeah, I think it's a natural thing. I found myself – I'm going to give you an example. San Diego State was – when they were having their basketball run and they were getting to the Sweet 16, I went to both of those. They lost both of them, and at that moment I was like, that's it. I'm no longer invited to any Sweet 16 game for San Diego State. So to answer your question, yeah, I do keep track.
Yeah, I think most people probably do, and I like that you were smart enough to go, you know what, I don't want to screw up my team. I'm going to stop going. So it brings us to this. Emily made her first appearance at a Dodger game last night and got that.
It's a pretty damn good game.
Walk-off home run against the Giants in the bottom of the ninth inning. So take us through it, Emily. You are now 1-0 as a Dodger attendee for the Dodgers.
Okay, wait. What quick question. I got a quick question for Emily. What time, when did you get to the game? What inning?
I got to the game in between the top and the bottom of the first inning. So I got there really early. So I was there for almost the entire game. Only I'm going to slightly blame the person I was coming with. She came off work, so we got caught in a little bit of traffic.
Okay, so the first thing that I asked was, were you there at the end of the game? And you were. So give us kind of an idea what the vibe was like.
So I think throughout the entire game, it kind of, at least at the first inning, after the Giants started hitting off of the Dodgers, it kind of got to be a point where you're like, okay, it's going to be kind of one of those nights. You see Justin Turner get hurt. You see Max Muncy get hurt. You're like, okay. But then, again, as Chris Taylor got up, and especially in the ninth inning, once there was 2 walks, and it was just like cheering off, and we could feel it, and we could see that this was going to happen. I was just like, okay, we're going to get a walk off here, or at least we're going to get at least a hit. And then once that bat came off of Will Smith's bat, I was like, this is it. And my friend and I, again, both of our first Dodger game, were just freaking out.
Can you think about that for a second, Trev? This is the first game she's ever gone to. She went to a Giants Dodgers walk off
start.
The hell?
Pretty good start. Yeah, hey, I just
only saying, only down from here, I guess.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, not all of them go like that. You're gonna have to recalibrate your expectations going forward. But I thought she said something interesting right there, Emily, when you said that you could feel the energy kind of come back late in the game, because it did feel, when they fell behind 6-1, when Yastrzemski hit that 2-runner off of a Gray, you could almost feel the collective energy of the fans kind of go, all right, it's 6-1. This thing's a wrap. We're in a bullpen day already. This isn't going to happen. And then Muncy leaves. And then Turner leaves. And it just felt like, okay, this is the end of the line. And then pop. And then another pop. A 3-runner for both of them from Chris Taylor. It just, that energy came racing back. And it was, I think it speaks to this team and the resiliency that they have.
Emily, any good food out there? What'd you enjoy? Something memorable there?
So I was a little disappointed by the Dodger dogs, not gonna lie.
Yeah, because Travis said you're gonna be disappointed with the Dodger dog. It was already in your head.
But I was, but it's just a hot dog. Like, I don't know. There wasn't anything special to me about it, and so I was just like, it's just a hot dog. My friend and I were like, oh, okay. But I also had the garlic fries, and I was also I liked it. They were good, but I was a little surprised how it's not like garlic powder on your fries. It's literally just minced garlic in a mound on top of your fries. And I was like, I guess I'm going to chomp on some minced garlic right now.
So she got a little bit of a taste. That's a good taste of a Dodger game there. I mean, she gets there right around the first inning, stays the entire game, gets rewarded for being there the whole game, tried a couple items on the menu. That's a good first experience.
It's not bad. I didn't hear the words helmet nachos come out of her mouth, so I'm a little disappointed, but I can live with that.
I have to budget myself a little bit. I don't get paid enough here that I can get every single thing on the menu.
Look, I would have, as a native of Los Angeles, as a Dodger fan, and perhaps most importantly, as a devotee of helmet nachos, I would have sported you the whatever it is $12 or $14 for that just so you could have it.
I gotta give one shout out. I saw Gregory in the line. Gregory, one of our listeners, he came up and talked to me, and it was great. But he was not as bullish about Josiah Gray as you were. So hopefully he's listening. And
well,
his
he's wrong.
Has changed.
You get on board, because you're gonna want to be on board with the Josiah Gray thing, because he's gonna be very good. Emily, I'm not going to ask you right now, but I need you to work on your answer for how he discovered that you're a part of the show, because I've been doing this for a while. I don't think that's happened to me 10 times in my life, and it happened. You're one for one at a Dodger game, so I'm going to need to know how that went down at some point. But coming up next, we're going to talk about Giannis doing something that very few people in the NBA have been able to do over the last few years. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee at 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You seem like you're in a better spot this morning, Slee. I'm glad, because you had me a little bit worried yesterday when you went at Jeff Bezos for going to outer space, and you were completely unimpressed that a guy spent his own money to build a rocket to fly to outer space. You're like, 10 minutes, what's the big deal?
Can I tell you something? When I was talking about that yesterday, it was genuine and it was from the heart, okay?
That's why it was great.
Okay, and then later in the day, I'm sitting on the couch, and my girlfriend's working on her computer, and I think I'm watching the game, but somehow it came up again. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just not that impressive to me. She's like, well, I mean, he just literally went to space and came back, or went to the outer limb or whatever. I'm like, he was gone for 11 minutes. Like, if you – and I went into the same kind of spiel that I did on the show – and it was all natural. The whole time I'm sitting back, I'm like, you can't be gone for that long and call it a trip.
Well, you're not impressed that this guy went to outer space and back in the time it would take you to drive to the grocery store? That's not impressive to you at all?
Like, I thought, by the way, when what's his name from Virgin Galactic or whatever?
Richard Branson.
When I heard that they were going to space, I guess in my head, I just like assume they're gone for 30 days. We'll see them mid-August. I didn't know they were gone for 14 minutes.
They're not settling Mars. They're not going up there to
make a couple rounds.
The Earth.
Make a couple rounds. I mean, orbit a couple times. Give us something to work with. I had nothing to work with yesterday.
I think this is the beginning of something that you being unimpressed with impressive things that – because just think, hey, you know what
I deleted my Amazon account yesterday. I'm not using it.
Oh, so good. So good.
Here's the sad thing. I'm more impressed by ordering something on Amazon, okay, and getting it that next morning than I was with him being gone for 10 minutes and coming back and getting on the same freeway to get home.
Hey, Trav, I ordered toilet paper yesterday. It's on my front door the next morning. Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but he went to space in 20 minutes and back.
They should, honestly, now that I think about it, they shouldn't have even televised it.
Just a little note in the back of the newspaper the next morning. Jeff Bezos and some dudes went to space for 10 minutes. So good. Travis and Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Giannis did something that is so impressive yesterday. He didn't go and find a high-level free agent. He didn't go and join a team that was already on the doorstep of trying to win another championship. Giannis did it the hard way. And we haven't seen too many people do it the hard way in a very, very long time. I want you to listen to him right here talking about how I could have done it one way, but I chose not to.
You know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
You could hear the emotion in his voice, Al. You know, it's easy. I would take issue with that. I don't think it's easier, but it's not easy. It's not easy to win these things. Easier, but
much easier.
Oh, much easier. All the credit in the world for basically saying, draft me another good player, Middleton. Mm-hmm. Let's go get this done. Let's make a move for a piece, Holiday. Holiday's not going to get Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. It's not going out and getting Anthony Davis. It's not going out and making a move for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
No, it's not. It's not that at all.
Mm-hmm. And they want – I get it. Injuries. I get it. Weird season on the heels of a pandemic season. But damn if that guy didn't exactly what everybody says. Hey, it's really – you know, it's easy to get a champion. No. He did it the hard way, and nothing but respect to him.
Can I say it's so – I find myself doing this as well. Why do I want to just kind of sit here and say, well, okay, come on, Giannis. I mean, look what happened in the NBA. Why do I find myself wanting to kind of put the pause or put the stop? And here's the reality. This is what I should be doing. What I should be doing is talking about how Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks just won a freaking championship. Yeah. I don't care how they got there. I don't care how they won it. They won it. And listen, whether he was trying to take shots at other superstars or he wasn't trying to do it, he took shots by saying what he said. When he says, I'm not joining a super team, you're talking to Kevin Durant. You're talking to LeBron James. You're talking to James Harden. You're talking to Kyrie Irving. You are. I mean, whether you like it or you don't.
No question.
Those were, for all the players right now, did you see, and I know we're going to get into this a little bit later, go look at the odds for this upcoming season. You know who's first and second on that list?
Not the Bucks.
It's Brooklyn and it's the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. So there's five superstars right there. When I say Brooklyn and the Lakers, you can check off your list five superstars. I think it's fascinating. The circumstances are the circumstances, how they got there. But I was watching Giannis yesterday, and I was watching a dude that was literally unstoppable. Unstoppable, Trav.
Yeah.
50 points. How about at the free throw line what he did?
17 or 19.
When a player had to step up and be the best player on the floor on the biggest stage, and this is, you know, we've said this before, better hurry up and get your chip now. Really, I think we were talking more about Chris Paul because at least with Giannis, he's young enough, he could get back there again, and things can fall into his lap from there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Al, I never thought of this until you just said it right there. It just popped into my head. While it's not going to be easy for Giannis to go back-to-back, and I would not bet my house that he's going to get another one at another point, I think it's possible. He just showed that
he
can go to that level. He can give you 50 in a closeout game and make 17 and 19 free throws and be the best defensive player on the court. He can get himself to that level and take his team with him. So I'm going to – when they play the Nets or whoever else, the Sixers or whoever it is coming out, I'm like, yeah, you know, Giannis may be able to throw this thing on his back. The exact opposite is the case on the other side, right? Doesn't it feel like the Suns had a chance, a really good chance?
No, this was it. Yeah, that was it.
It was, yeah. Didn't it feel like that window slammed shut last night? Like, dude, you had it and you didn't get it done.
The question is going to come down to, okay, what can the Suns do to build around when Chris Paul calls it a day? Or, like, how are they going to even be in the conversation? If you looked at, again, some of those odds, and we'll get into it a little bit later, how many teams were before the Phoenix Suns? Five or six of them? But that's not a surprise. It's not like you and I – that's not a storyline. No. All those teams that are in front of them should be there. I think the team that was most interesting was Warriors at – were Warriors fourth or something
plus,
along those
yeah,
lines?
Yeah, they're fourth, plus 1,200.
So I say that because you're right. The Giannis piece of it, he's young enough. They're going to retool. They'll do what they need to do. Good enough. The Phoenix Suns part, you're not getting back to the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals anytime soon.
Would you even be surprised if they were out in the first round? I wouldn't. I mean, that's how drastically it changed. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they won a first-round matchup either, but that thing changed fast for them last night.
Can I give you an example?
Phoenix plays Denver next year in the first round, or they play Utah or something. It's a 4-5 matchup. Yeah, of course they can be out.
The Lakers. They could get the Lakers in the first round, and the Lakers could paint them in the first round. We'll get into that as well. How open is that Laker window relative to everyone else? That's coming up in about 20 minutes, but Al, it's Ask Slee. It's coming up next. You can call 877-710-ESPN, or, of course, you can send them on Twitter. Hashtag them, Ask Slee. Send them to me, at Travis Rogers. That's straight ahead. It's Travis and Slee, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Al, I'm going to skip the one asking if Ariel Helwani is one of your long-lost older brothers. I'm going to skip past that one because I'm just going to assume that that's true. You do have a little Ariel Helwani. You guys do look alike.
He's thinner.
Is he? I've only seen him on TV. You talk like you're a heavy guy. You're not. You're not a heavy guy at all. You need to give yourself a little more credit.
Helwani is taller and thinner. I'll just say that, but...
All right, here we go.
Long-lost older brother.
John writes, I just bought my 11-year-old a bearded dragon. What non-dog or cat pet would you own? Hashtag Ask Slee. So you got to get
something. Start all over again. Let's hear that again. I'm already confused.
John bought his 11-year-old son a bearded dragon, lizard.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
He's asking you, not a dog or a cat, but if you had to have a pet, what would you have? We know you have Rookie the dog, but you got to go off the mainstream and get something a little weird. What are you doing?
Well, it's not going to be too weird. It's either going to be, I think it comes down to two. It's either going to be a fish or a bird.
Birds are pretty noisy.
I think I'm going to go fish. I think it's easier to manage, have them in the house. You know, if you got kind of an interesting fish tank or something along those lines. Did you see, by the way? Do you remember this? Who was it? What player was it? Was this Shaq that put a fish tank in his car when he first got in the NBA?
No, I know that.
And the fish kept dying, so he had to keep putting new fish in there.
First of all, exotic fish tanks are like an NBA thing, and I like it. I didn't know that they'd been in a car. That's outstanding.
What is it? Dwight and Danny Green got the snakes?
Yeah, I don't
know. Or at least it's Danny Green. I know Danny Green has the snakes. Yeah, I can't do that.
I think I'd be fish too, but the bird is kind of interesting to me because you could come on and go, ah, Slee, Slee, the Clippers lose, Slee.
Definitely
the Clippers
not the bird.
Lose.
That added more to not the bird.
Ah, Slee, go Lakers. Ah. I feel like you could have another little friend in your house. That might be kind of fun for you. This is my favorite one in a while. This is from Max Power, and it's ridiculous and hilarious.
Okay.
Who has the best occupation for a name? Lawyer Malloy, Judge Reinhold, Doc Ellis, or Usher? So they're all occupations. Who's got the best name? The Usher, the Doctor, the
I
Lawyer,
think this one's
or the
easy
judge?
For me. Lawyer Malloy.
Why?
I don't know. It just has a ring to it. And the dude was an NFL player. could you just see... What was Malloy? Safety?
Uh-huh.
Can't you just see, I don't know, everything running through him? Everybody looking at Lawyer Malloy like,
lawyer.
Okay, what do we need to do? What do we do? Everything goes through Lawyer Malloy. I think I go Malloy.
Isn't judge like the best job in the world? You just get to sit in judgment of other human beings. I think that would be fantastic. You know what? I'm thinking jail. I don't like the cut of your jib. I'm thinking jail. Or you know what? Sure. Sure, you burned down that school, but
yeah, that's power.
You seem
that's
okay
freaking
to me. I'm
power.
I'm gonna let you go.
I'm going Lawyer Malloy because I'm going against the judge. I'm going against.
Plus, Judge Reinhold. I've heard before that I look a little bit like Brad from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Are you getting any of that?
No, I don't see it. I don't see it.
We had a back and forth on Twitter at one point. And I had to put a picture.
What else was he in? Beverly Hills Cop?
Beverly Hills Cop. Yep. He was in a couple episodes of Seinfeld. He's been the close talker, I believe. All right, here's Ryan in La Jolla. Now that the NBA season is over, where are Slee and Lady Slee going on vacation? It's a good question.
Got to do something international, and it'll be coming up sometime in August. I got to take, I think you're going to take some time off. I'm going to have to, by the way, if we don't do it in this upcoming, in the next 40 days, you and I aren't going on vacation for another year. So it's got to be something international.
It's coming.
Something
international. It's like international like Cabo or international like?
No, like international.
The other side of the world international.
Yeah, other side of the world.
All right.
I got to do something international.
And is Lady Slee accompanying you on this journey?
Yeah, she'll be there as well.
All right, this is from Mark Hoppus Got This, and it says, since Slee would still take it to the face, would he rather take a punch from Mike Tyson, a kick from Anderson Silva to the face, or a scream in the ear from a Karen?
That one's easy. I'm not somebody that has this pain threshold where, I don't care. Who is it? You just name it. I'll go ahead and take Karen all day long.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it's in the same category, right? I get it that they can be kind of shrill and annoying, but
I'll take annoying all day long over physical pain.
Over dead? Yeah, because I think if Mike Tyson punched me in the head or Anderson Silva kicked me in the head, it's the end of me. I'm just going to lay down. Even if I'm not dead, I'd like to be at that point. I'm just going to lay down and call it a day.
Yeah, I'm definitely – that one's probably – out of all the Astleys we've got, that one's arguably the easiest one.
All right, has from Drew. Drew says, has Alan ever walked out of a wax museum and felt that was money well spent?
Do you guys do annual passes? Am I able to come back? Like, how often do you guys change any of this stuff here?
Have you ever been to one of those places?
I have been.
And?
They got, what's the one they have? Hollywood has one, doesn't it?
The Hollywood Wax Museum's kind of a famous one.
Yeah.
There's Madame Tussauds, who has been, she's had one. I don't even know if Madame Tussauds is a real person or just like a composite like they came up with. But I've never had the pleasure of seeing wax Elvis Presley. What's it like?
Nothing impressive. Nothing impressive at all. I remember I had a friend who was visiting and she went to it. This was a couple years back or whatever the case is. And she thought it was the coolest thing. I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean it's the coolest thing? She's like, oh, it just looks exactly like them. I'm like, yeah, let's keep it moving.
Can I big city shame a little bit?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like something that people from very small towns are interested in? Doesn't it feel like something that you come from a smaller place? Because here, you walk down the street, you're gonna if you walk around, you're gonna see some people that you've seen on TV or movies or music or something. Whatever.
And you have 50 different places you can go visit, 100 places you could go visit before that.
Like I don't need to really see Wax Adele to get excited to get super pumped up.
That's
about
actually
what's going on.
That's a great small city. You know, it's a place kind of on the way to get somewhere else, and that's what you're known for. not the Hollywood spot.
Come see Wax NSYNC. Justin Timberlake, it looks just like him. All right,
like in the middle of South Dakota. That's where you would see that.
That feels right. TFP. Happier moment. Slee after the Clippers were eliminated or Giannis last night after winning the NBA Finals?
Ah, that's an easy one here, but that's not it. It's not even close. It's the Clippers. I mean, Clippers out of the mix here was but this year it was different. You know, last season was you had the Lakers. You felt like the Lakers and the Clippers were going to actually be a good series, which scares you in itself because you have a chance of losing. They're up 3-1 against Denver, and the freaking Nuggets win 3 games in a row. This year was difficult. This year was different because you were already out. Like, the Lakers were already out. So there wasn't – it's not like you can really enjoy it. Your team was already out. Plus, they weren't even in full strength, so they actually got further than you expected them to. So this year was different.
I think that your level of enthusiasm was higher than Giannis's last night, but I'm not going to lie, man. Seeing Giannis look like that, feel like that, celebrate like that, even as somebody that's a little cynical and jaded, I was super happy for him last
night.
It was really cool to see.
Didn't it seem weird yesterday right after the game? I felt like there was only one camera and it was on Giannis. That's it. The rest of the team, like, it was only on Giannis, number one. And number two, I felt like nobody really knew what to do. Like, they didn't celebrate. You know, it's like, talk about not knowing, never being there before. They didn't know how to celebrate.
You can't act like you've been there before if you haven't been there before. You don't know what to do. One more quick one here. When eating helmet nachos, should it be customary to wear the helmet after you finish, like a hunter wearing the skin of an animal that he just killed?
That's a question for you, because you're the helmet nachos guy.
Yeah,
no, I've already talked about how I'm not a helmet nachos guy.
No, you can put it on when you get home. You gotta. There's still remnants of cheese and guacamole and beef, and I don't really need to grind that into the few hairs that I have left. Even wiping it out with a napkin, it's still going to be a little funky. I think we can wait to put the prized pelt on my head once I get home.
Tell me you're not doing that when you get home. That you clean it all off. And,
I have it on right now. I don't know. What do you mean? I have them, like when you go into somebody's trophy room and there's an elk and there's a buffalo and there's a white tiger and a rhinoceros. Mm-hmm. I just have helmet nachos nailed to the wall. It's just an endless stream of my trophies, my conquests that I've taken down over the years. That's when I did it.
That was a game Raul Mondesi.
Padres Dodgers 1993. Raul Mondesi had four hits. This is the game where Tim Belcher had a sacrifice bunt in the third inning. Remember it like it was yesterday.
We'll forget this Eric Karros game.
Went on the road trip. This was Royals and Pirates back in 2007. George Brett threw out the first pitch. Big day for me. Nachos had plenty of jalapenos. Great day. All right. Laker window is as open as it has been, but just how wide open is it considering that it goes through there? That's all coming up in a bit.